Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. Welcome to our service. It's great to have you worshiping with us. Welcome to our college students who are mostly back home. Those of you who have been away, we're glad to have all you guys. I know you guys are glad to be done with the year, right? Hope you have a super, super summer, but we are always happy when you are back with us in worship. Got a couple things I want us to just celebrate and then just have a word of prayer over this morning. The first thing is Food Fight. We were at Food Fight last week. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you showed up here. I didn't hear of anybody doing that. But anyway, we were at Food Fight and we served a couple of rounds. Some of you weren't able to make it Sunday, so you were there on Saturday. We booked a set there as well, and so thank you for doing that. I don't have stats for that Saturday round, but on Sunday we were serving in what they called round 10. And it was Food Fight was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And while we were there with several hundred of our closest friends, had about 120, 130 folks from our church serving through Food Fight. But I don't know how many were actually there, but we had a lot of folks working alongside of us from other churches. But we packed 312,984 meals in the 2 hours that we were there during round 10. That feeds 857 kids for an entire year. Isn't that incredible? And for the total weekend, we packed just a little over 3 million meals for kids, and that'll feed a little over 8,313 children for an entire year. We'll get the nutrition that they need because of what you and so many other people did last weekend. So thank you. For those of you who are able to serve, thank you to those who stayed home with kids so somebody else could come and serve. And certainly we want to thank New Hope Community Church for organizing this and bringing churches together. I talked to Rusty, their pastor, and they hope to be able to do something on this scale every 2 years. So we'll be looking forward to that. And a few of our folks asked us about and were even interested in providing leadership for whether our church would ever host a mobile meal packing here on our campus. So we've reached out to Feed My Starving Children and are going to have them come out and just look at our space, see if it's something that's feasible for us to potentially host something here on campus for our community and for our church to participate in together. So we'll let you know how that shapes up. The other thing we want to celebrate is we've hired a new student pastor. So meet Lex and Jessica. Yeah, you can see. I've been clapping for a long time once I got that news. Let me tell you. This is Lex and Jessica Moore. Lex just finished up his Master of Divinity degree at Oklahoma Christian University in Oklahoma City. He also did his undergrad work there. And so they are excited about Fairfax Circle Church. They're excited about Northern Virginia. I think we introduced them last weekend when they were here to everything. I think we even got them in some rush hour traffic, so they actually knew what they were getting into. They've secured housing and all. And so they will be moving the weekend of Saturday and Sunday, June 9th and 10th. So they will actually be in town June 10th. We'll be looking for some folks who want to help offload a U-Haul. So if that's you, let me know. I'll be coming. We'll be asking you in the next few weeks to help us with that too. And then he's going to hit the ground running and start working that week. So we're excited to have them here. So pray for them as they make the move here and the transition here. And I didn't say this in the early service. Let me just say a couple things about Lex. One, he is about the same age I was, maybe a few months younger, when I came here. Okay? So you guys were gracious and cut me as a 25-year-old kid out of seminary who thought I knew everything and didn't know a lot of grace and a lot of slack, and we just learned along the way, and we've had a great relationship ever since. So Lex is young, but these are two very, very mature individuals, really sharp. Lex grew up, his dad, real similar to me. His dad's a pastor. He was a student pastor for a long time, and now he's a lead pastor, so he kind of grew up in that world. Kind of like I did. So pray for them and just make sure you welcome them once they get here. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. God, we thank you for the things that we have to praise you about. We do thank you for Food Fight and just the opportunity to serve through Feed My Starving Children. And we thank you for New Hope and their going above and beyond to organize such a huge event, to take on such a huge problem in our world, and to bring all of us as churches and other organizations and groups together to the same point of working on this. So we thank you that we had this opportunity to do this. And I just pray for each child that's going to receive one of these meal packets and that they will just get the nutrition that they desperately need to fight off the diseases and to fight off malnutrition and to grow and to learn and to become the young people that you've created them to be. I pray for all the organizations that are going to receive these meal packets through Feed My Starving Children, and that it will just strengthen what they are already doing for kids and families, whether it's refugee support or education or medical relief, that you would just strengthen those organizations as they serve the world as well. And then, God, we thank you for Jessica and Lex, and just for bringing them to us and for connecting all of us together. And I just pray that you'd prepare them as they get ready to come and join our staff and join our church and be on mission with us as they serve students and college-age adults and other adults through discipleship. So just bless all of the details that they need to bring together over the next few weeks as they get ready to relocate to this area. And then, God, we just thank you for a day where we can just stop and pause and just be thankful for and grateful for the mothers that you've put into our lives, whether they're our biological mothers or they're women that have stood in the gap and have filled that role and have served as influencers and encouragers and role models for us. And we thank you and we praise you for them. And then we just want to lift up those who today and this weekend maybe is a difficult day because their relationship with their mother is just not what they want it to be, or their relationship with their children is not what they want it to be, or maybe they're not even in their lives due to certain circumstances. And so whatever their circumstances are, it's a difficult day. And so, God, I just pray that you would surround them with just your peace and your grace and just your presence today. And now, God, open our hearts to what you want us to learn about ourselves and the way you shaped us, but more importantly, why you shaped us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. So grab your notes. We are continuing this series that we're calling Shape, S-H-A-P-E, and we're in the P of Shape. Today we're talking about our personalities, and one of the things I hope you get out of today's teaching is that God gave you the personality that He gave you for a reason, because the world needs you, and the world needs your particular personality and the things that you bring to the world because of that. One day there was a guy that walked up to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, he said, I want you to summarize all the scriptures for me. That he asked, you know, what's the most important thing to understand when it comes to faith and church and religion and the scriptures and all of that? And here's what Jesus told him, and we talk about this passage a lot, but Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this one, that the number one purpose in your life is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So the question is, how do you do that? And what's the difference? What's the difference between your heart and your soul? What's the difference between your mind and your strength? Well, one of the things that we can do, one of the ways you can look at this is through the lens of personalities. Jesus said that we're to demonstrate, as His followers, we're to demonstrate our love to God in these four ways, that we're to love God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and our strength. But the reality is, every one of us here, we focus on one of these ways more than the others. You either tend to be a heart person or a soul person or a mind person or a strength person. That is your God-given personality. And God wants you to love Him, and God wants you to worship Him, and God wants you to serve Him with the personality that He gave you. He doesn't want you to worship like someone else. He doesn't want you to serve like someone else. He wants to do it, you to do it with the personality that He gave you. So there are actually heart people, there's soul people, there's mind people, there's strength people. So what's the difference? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Another way to look at this verse, another way to say this is love God with all your talk, or love God with all your feelings, all your thinking, and all your acting, or all your doing. Heart people are good at talking. They tend to be very verbal. They're good at discussions. They're good at putting words together. Soul people tend to be really good at feelings. They tend to be more emotional than they are verbal. They feel things very deeply, and they tend to be more in touch with their emotions than the rest of us are. Mind people are really good at thinking. They tend to be more mental, not so much verbal or emotional, but mental. They analyze things, they process things, they study things. And then strength people tend to be really good at doing. that they're more physical. They're more practical. They're not so much thinking or feeling or even talking, but they're very hands-on type people. And you're a blend of all of these things. There's a little bit of each of these in all of us, but we primarily act in one of these ways more than all of the others. So let's take a look at these four personalities. The first one is love God with all your heart. It's the talkers. The talkers. These are people who love God with their heart. And we're told in Scripture over and over and over again that there's a direct connection between your heart and your mouth. That what you have in your heart comes out in what you say. That, for example, if I have a problem with my language and I'm constantly using profanity, I know that wouldn't be anybody here, but if I'm constantly using profanity, it's not a problem with my mouth. It's an issue with my heart. If I tend to be the type of person that judges other people, or I'm constantly criticizing, or I'm just sarcastic all the time, or I'm putting people down, that's not a problem with my mouth. It's an issue with my heart. Or if I tend to be somebody that exaggerates things or shades the truth, or I'm just not a really honest person, again, that's not a problem with my mouth. It's a problem in my heart. What you say has a direct connection to your heart. So why is this personality? Why are talkers? Why are they so important to the world? Why did God put them in the world? Well, here's why. Because the world needs communication. The world needs communication. We need people who are communicators. And if this is you, we need people like you. We need people who can lead discussions. We need people who can verbalize what the rest of us are feeling. We need teachers. We need counselors. We need coaches, people who can teach us and direct us. We need comedians, people who can make us laugh, right? We need people who can communicate spiritual truths and connect them to what's going on in our culture. We need all kinds of people who are built on verbal skills, who can move the world forward with what they have to offer. There are enormous benefits to having talkers in the world. And here's a couple of benefits that Solomon points out in the book of Proverbs, which, by the way, if you're a talker, you should be reading the book of Proverbs over and over and over again, because it is just filled with so much good advice and wisdom for your personality. But Proverbs 12, Solomon says, "The words of the wise bring healing." The right words at the right time can actually bring healing to someone's life or to our culture and to our communities. It can restore, it can encourage, it can build up. And then Proverbs 14, Solomon says, "The words of the wise keep people out of trouble." You should use your ability. If you're a talker, if this is your bent, right, you should use your ability to verbalize things, to point and guide and direct the rest of us in the right direction. So what are the weaknesses of this personality? All four of these personalities, they have weaknesses. So we're going to look at the weaknesses of all four of them. But what are the weaknesses of talkers? Let me just give you a couple to look out for if this is who you are. One of them is kind of obvious, and it's this. The more you talk, the more likely you are to say the wrong thing at some point, right? The more you talk, the more likely you are to say the wrong thing at some point. That's just playing the odds, right? That's just common sense. It's going to happen. If you don't say much, then you don't have as much possibilities to mess up and say the wrong thing. Again, Solomon in Proverbs 10 says, the more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. In other words, you're going to eventually say the wrong thing. Or you're going to say the right thing, but at the wrong time or to the wrong person. And if you're talking all the time, you just need to be aware that this is not just your greatest strength, but it can also be your greatest weakness. It's the same for all four personalities. The other thing is that talking all the time sometimes can reveal insecurity in someone's life. That when I have to talk all the time, it might reveal some insecurity in me. You know, a lot of people get very, very uncomfortable with silence. You ever notice that? So when you're out and you're with people, you're on a date, or you're sitting in a meeting, or someone's over for dinner and or whatever, and all of a sudden the conversation just stops and there's a lull in the conversation, you know, they get nervous with the silence. But the Bible tells us that those who are sure of themselves, they don't have to talk all the time. So if you're a confident person, you don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to fill in the gaps when there's silence. So here's the takeaway for talkers. If this is your personality type, then this is what you need to make sure you do and think about. This is kind of the warning to you is you have to act. You have to act. You can't just talk. You have to act on what you say. And Proverbs tells us, get to work and you'll earn a living. But if you just sit around talking, you're going to be poor. Some people never get past the talking phase, do they? They never get past the discussion stage. You know, you ask them, you know, what are you doing with your life? Well, I'm talking about doing this. Well, how long have you been talking about it? I don't know, about 3 years. Okay, so when are you going to do it, right? So let me ask you this question. What is it that you've been talking about doing? What is it that you've been talking about doing? Don't just keep talking about it. At some point, take a step and start doing it. Here's the second personality. It's what I call the feelers. Feelers are those who love God with their souls. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word soul in the Bible, it's used in several different ways, but most of the time when you see the word soul, it's used as a synonym for emotions. In fact, in the book of Psalms, it's almost always used as a synonym for emotions, my soul or my emotions or my feelings. By the way, if you're a soul person, if this is you, then the book of Psalms might be one of your favorite books in the Bible. But some people, they're not in touch with their emotions, but people who are feelers, just like talkers, are in touch with their words. They're very verbal. People who are feelers are in touch with their soul, with their emotions. In fact, if this is you, you have a hard time hiding your emotions, right? You think you do it really, really well, but nobody's ever told you probably that you don't, right? You do not have a poker face when it comes to camouflaging your emotions. It shows in your body language. It shows in your facial expressions. You know, our children's pastor and missions pastor, Elise Bell, she's a feeler. If you know her, you know she's a feeler, off the chart feeler, right? In fact, if you know her very well, you can probably complete this phrase that she says all the time. She's constantly saying, "Oh my soul." Yeah, you know it. "Oh my soul." She's constantly saying she's a feeler. So why do we need feelers in the world? Why did God put this personality type in the world? Here's why. Because we need more than just communication. The world also needs compassion. The world needs compassion. The purpose of God putting feelers in the world is because God is a passionate and a compassionate and God. And these people represent that part of God's personality. And we need people in the world who deeply care and care deeply about issues. We need people who care about knowing God and helping others and empathizing and sympathizing with the pain and the problems of others in the world and in our culture. So what are the weaknesses to this personality? Just like talkers can kind of overtalk and never get anything done, feelers, one of the weaknesses is feelers will be more tempted by their feelings than the rest of us. They're more tempted by their emotions than the rest of us. They can be driven more by their emotions than the rest of us. If you're a feeler, you have a tendency to be manipulated by your moods. You may say things like, you know, "I want to do that because I feel like it," or "I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that." You can be controlled by your emotions, and the problem with that is emotions and feelings, they sometimes lie to us, don't they? Another weakness is this, and this is kind of a biggie if you're a feeler, is expecting other people, you know, talkers and thinkers and doers and all that, expecting other people to be just as passionate about something as you are. Non-feelers, they just aren't going to feel things the way that you do, and you shouldn't expect them to. Your role is to help nudge them and pull them in that direction, but they will never feel as strongly and emotionally about things as you're likely to feel. So what's the warning to feelers? What's the takeaway or the action step? Well, it's real simply this. You've got to let God lead you. You can't be driven and can't be controlled by your emotions all the time. In fact, Paul tells us over in Galatians 5, he says, "Don't be led by your emotions, but be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy or you will not give in to or you will not follow the desires of your human nature." And so he says, you'll either be controlled by your feelings or you'll be controlled by God's Spirit. And then the third personality, you're the thinkers. Talkers love God with their hearts. Feelers love God with their souls. Thinkers love God with their minds. Did you know that you can love God with your intellect? That when you're doing intellectual activities, it actually brings glory to God. And you know, God never said, "I want you to take that brain that I gave you, and I want you to put it on a shelf over there and then follow me." Right? God never said that. He said, "I want you to use your mind. I want you to use your brain. I want you to use your intellect. Love God with all your mind." When you're developing your mind and strengthening your mind, when you're educating your mind, when you're doing things with your mind, you're doing an act of worship. You're doing something with what God gave you. And people who are thinkers, when they become followers of Jesus, they tend to fall in love with the Scriptures. They tend to love to study the Scriptures over and over and over. So why do we need thinkers in the world? Well, we need thinkers in the world because the world needs consideration. And in other words, we need somebody who's thinking through complex issues and complex problems. Somebody's got to be thinking through the implications of the things that all the rest of us are doing or want to do. We need people who think through tough problems and bring solutions to the tables. That's why we need scientists. That's why we need writers and philosophers. That's why we need engineers. That's why we need inventors inventing things. That's why we need innovators who can think through solutions and get creative and come up with problems to solve in the world. Now, are there any weaknesses with this personality? You bet. Of course there are. Just like there's weaknesses with talkers and feelers, there's weaknesses with thinkers. And one of those is pride. It's pride. Thinkers are tend to be people who think very fast and tend to think very deeply. And many of them are well educated. And if you're not careful, if this is you, if you're not careful, you can actually have a tendency to kind of look down on people or talk down to people who may not think the way that you do. And here's a caution from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. He says, knowledge makes people arrogant. Love builds them up. And so he's saying, if you've got knowledge, then great, use your smarts, use your intellect, use your knowledge. But he says you've got to temper it with love. Otherwise, you're just going to be egotistical. In other words, to put it in kind of modern day terms, don't be a Sheldon, okay? And those of you who watch Big Bang Theory, you know what I'm talking about. You know, don't be a Sheldon Cooper type of a person. The other problem with thinkers can sometimes be indecision. Indecision. Some people will use studying things as an excuse to never actually do something. They never come to conclusions. And Scripture talks about them like this, always studying but never able to recognize the truth. Some people use study as an excuse or as a barrier, never to act, never to actually take steps to really do anything. And so here are a couple of warnings if you're a thinker. Here's a couple of action steps, practical steps. And the first one is you got to practice humility. Practice humility. Because Scripture reminds us, says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Why? Because God is God and you're not. God is God and I'm not. And God is a whole lot wiser than all of us put together. And humility is a choice. And then the other warning to thinkers is practice what you know. Practice what you know. Actually do something with what you learn and what you know. If you know it, then do it. James tells us this. It's a great verse. And he's not just talking to thinkers. He's talking to all of us. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, you could come to Fairfax Circle Church for 20 years. You could listen to and take notes on every sermon ever preached here and go to small group after small group after small group and learn tons of stuff and never actually do and apply any of the things that you're learning. And here's the truth. You might want to write this down, but I'll put it on the screen. And it's this: I only believe the parts of the Bible I actually do. Right? Did you know that? You only believe the parts of the Bible that you actually do. It's a great catchphrase among Christians. Lots of them say, well, I believe the Bible. You only believe what you actually do. Do you believe that people ought to give to the poor? Sure. Do you do it? Do you believe that people ought to treat others with patience and kindness and mercy? Yeah. Do you do it? Do you believe that as followers of Christ, Scripture tells us that we should forgive people when they hurt us and do us wrong? Do you do it? You only believe the parts that you do. Talkers, they love God with their hearts. Feelers love God with their soul. Thinkers love God with their mind. Here's the last personality. It's the doers. And doers love God with their strength. These are the get-it-done kind of people. These are the achievers, the accomplishers, the workers, the people that push things forward and make things happen in a very practical sense in our world. And what's the purpose of doers in the world? Well, the purpose is this: the world needs contribution. We don't just need communication, we don't just need compassion, and we don't just need consideration. We also need to work on it. We need contribution. We need people of action. We need people who are get-or-done type people, people that will push the rest of us, people with initiative and with energy and with a drive to start things and the ability to grow things and build things and develop things, hands and feet type people. And just like talkers, feelers, and thinkers all have their own weaknesses, so do doers. And I can say the weakness of doers in one word. It's overwork. Overwork. Because doers are always working. They often don't even stop to think. They certainly don't stop to feel, and they won't spend a second to stop and talk to you about it, right? Because they're always doing something. They're busy, busy, busy people. And here's what David tells us over in Psalm 127. He says, "It's senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you're going to starve to death, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest." Now, that last part is probably something we all ought to write and put somewhere where we can see it every day. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. And so some of you, you need to do less so that you can spend more time on what really matters. And that's the warning to doers, is do less. Get some rest. Slow down a little bit. So those are the four personalities. We all lean in one direction or the other. So let me land this plane really, really quickly. Scripture tells us that when you and I become a believer, that God makes us new people inside. And that's what baptism is all about. That's what baptism symbolizes, that you're a new person. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he said, when anyone becomes a new person, when anyone becomes a Christian, they are a new person inside. The old has passed away, and the new has come. So what is actually new in your life when you become a follower of Christ, when you decide to step across that line? Well, first is your past is forgiven, right? And second, you've got a new reason for living. You've got a purpose in life when you become a follower of Jesus. You've got a new home waiting for you in heaven one day. You become a new person, a different person. But let me tell you something that doesn't change when you become a follower of Christ. Your personality doesn't change. If you were a talker before you became a follower of Jesus, you're still a talker. And if you were a feeler before you became a follower of Jesus, you're still a feeler. And if you were a thinker before you became a follower of Jesus, you're still a thinker. And if you were a doer before you were a follower of Jesus, you're still a doer. And the world needs you. And the world needs you loving God and worshiping God and serving God in the way that He created you, with the personality that He gave you. So regardless of which one of these you lean towards, which personality you have, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you that you created all of us differently, that you shaped us uniquely. And I thank you that you gave us all different personalities, and we see the world in different ways, and we view the world and problems and issues in the world in different ways. We experience the world in different ways. We talk about the world in different ways. And you did that for a reason, because the world needs those different perspectives. They need those different strengths to move things forward. And so I thank you for each one of these personalities. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would take some time and to figure out which one of these we tend to lean towards, and that we would embrace that as your creation, that you made us that way, but you made us that way for a purpose. Because there's some plan in mind for how you want to use that in our community and in our world. And then, God, I pray that we'd take some time, too, to just explore some of the pitfalls and some of the weaknesses that we might face because of our personalities, and that we would figure out a way to navigate around those so they don't sidetrack us and they don't derail us and they don't slow us down from doing the things you've called us to do. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song of response.